Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryan Karavavahai, Tejasvi Navaditamastoma Vidyavishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 65. Verses 36 to 68. The paths of Pravritti and Nivritti. Narad Muni continued, "One who accepts the sannyas order gives up the three principles of materialistic activities in which one indulges in the field of household life. Namely, religion, economic development, and sense gratification." Right? So we have both the order of sannyas and we have the mentality of sannyas. Right? Ideally, the two should match. Right? But the point is the mentality, the Vedic culture is trying to develop that at whatever stage you can. Right? So even if in the beginning, if you can develop it at the stage of brahmacharya, great, that's good. But it doesn't mean that one necessarily practices the sannyas order. Does that make sense? Because the mentality is what's important. That's what you're trying to establish. So then, religion, economic development, sense gratification means that one's interested in the mundane. Right? Developing the facilities and all that is karma. So the one must be interested in moksha. Right? Means getting freed from that. Not moksha, meaning you want to merge into Brahman, but moksha, meaning you want to be freed from material entanglement so you can enjoy, it means be engaged in the Lord's service. Right? That's what we're trying to do. Does that make sense? So, therefore, the order is at least by that time you should do it, because externally then you avoid those things. But the actual idea is it's the mentality you're trying to get. That? Yeah. Okay. One who first accepts sannyas but then returns to such materialistic activities is to be called a vantashi, or one who eats his own vomit. He is indeed a shameless person. Footnote 25. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns 36, verse 36 to Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 13, entitled Sadhana Bhakti Executed Exclusively by Taking Shelter of the Holy Name. Aikantiki Namashraya Sadhana Bhakti. Which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book, right? So that we are fixed in devotional service as opposed to dharma, artha, and kama. That means then we're focused on the holy name. Right? Does that make sense? In other words, we're taking that path of nivritti, but it's being connected to the Lord. Right? Yeah. Sannyasis who first consider that the body is subject to death, when it will be transformed into stool, worms, or ashes, but who again give importance to the body and glorify it as the self, are to be considered the greatest rascals. It is abominable for a person living in the grihastha ashram to give up the regulative principles. For a brahmachari not to follow the brahmachari vows while living under the care of the guru. For a vanaprastha to live in the village and engage in so-called social activities. Or for a sannyasi to be addicted to sense gratification. One who acts in this way is considered to be the lowest renegade. Such a pretender is bewildered by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one should either reject him from any position, or, taking compassion upon him, teach him, if possible, to resume his original position. Right? So that's the thing. We generally work on the rejection, eternal damnation, better you go to another planet, you know, if you possibly, if you can arrange it, because we're not going to do that. But, you know, that's generally the thing. But it says here, or if you can teach them, then you try to get them to resume their original position. Right? Because that's the whole point, is that The Varnashram system is what's going to be a benefit. That's what you try to get people to follow. If they have a problem in it, you try to train them so that they can follow, right? Otherwise, why can't they do it? Training's not enough. So whatever training's lacking, that's what then you give so that they can do. Not that, oh, you made a mistake and that's it, you're finished. That's all right if we think we're the body and that with the body that everything's done. But if we understand we're the soul, then we understand it's an ongoing process. So then we would ideally use the second. It means if we're in a position, we should be doing that. It means, in other words, somebody should be doing that as part of the system. Others may be rejecting until such time as they behave in a proper way. So as long as they're not behaving properly, we reject that association. If we can correct it, then that would be done. Does this make sense? Okay. So then it gives the essential points here. Right? For Grihastha to give up the regulative principles, right? Because all the rules in the Veda are basically for Grihasthas. Right? The skeleton, the main things that are on how to connect yourself to the Lord in that, that goes through all the varnas. But all the extra ones that deal with all the external aspects of what we do with the body, the mind, the words, all the social, the economic, all these different things, which is your biggest volume, right? That's going to be, that can't be given up. It's much of the time thought that Grihastha is free. But it's not. It means it's free. It means you can engage this wider variety of senses, you know, engaging the senses, but not without regulation. If it's without regulation, then it's just animal. So one may be within the brahmacharya ashram, one has to follow so many things, so then Grihastha means I don't have to follow all those things. That is your first mistake. No, it's actually you have to follow more. You know, because it was so few, then it appeared that, oh, it's so much. But Grihastha ashram, it's so much, you don't even notice that it's, you know, so, you know what it is. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. So one has to be able to follow. That's the whole idea, because then one can follow very nicely. Because if you can follow it, then from there you try to get to the essence of it, and then from there, then one tries to go back to Godhead. But the essence must be manifest. The point is if we're engaging the senses, how do we manifest the essence of the Vedas or devotional service in whatever we're doing? So it doesn't matter what the range is, what you want to be involved in, how is it being connected to the Lord? We just have this idea that, oh no, we're just being practical. Practical what? You know what I'm saying? The dog was hungry. He was just being practical, so he came into your kitchen and ate what was there. Did you like it? Did you go, wow, this dog is so practical? Right? No, we get upset. No, there's rules. It's supposed to be this. It's that. Why is it the rules only go, you know? The animals have to follow rules, and no, but we can be animals. Yes, then? So this is what's generally, from what I've seen, not understood about Grihastha ashram. Grihastha ashram means more rules. It's generally thought Grihastha ashram means less rules. All the rules are the brahmacharis, the sannyasis, the gurus, the managers, you know, anybody that has a position of authority or respect. But for me, hey, it's what, you know, what is it, carte blanche? You know, just anything goes, you know. But that's not human life. That's why then Varnashram, that regulates it and makes it all work very, very nicely. Right? So then for a brahmachari not to follow the brahmachari vows while living under the care of the guru. Right? So whatever he's supposed to do, follow the authority of the spiritual master, study, be clean, do menial service, control the senses. For him not to do that, that's going to be a problem, because then he's technically not a brahmachari. Right? He's a bachelor, but not a brahmachari. Just like the grihastha is not technically a grihastha, they're a grihamedi. Right? Okay. For the vanaprastha to live in the village and engage in so-called social activities. They're supposed to live on the edge of the village. And they do their things, and people will come to visit them. But if all they're doing is going around, and now it's, you know, they're retired, so now it's party time. Now they can go around and do all those things and hang out with everybody and do all those social things that they couldn't do before. That's not vanaprastha. You know, like that. Because otherwise, what are you showing other than, you know, that you're a better party animal than them? You know, so does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. And for a sannyasi to be addicted to sense gratification, right? The senses are engaged, but to be addicted to that, now that's a problem. Right? Grihasthas may be addicted, but they're connecting it to the Lord, so in this way they're gradually bringing it under control. So it's not that the senses aren't engaged, there can be no addiction. There can't be a concept that this is going to make me happy. But it's not that the engagement of the senses is not there. Does that make sense? Because it's a difference. We take it that if it's nice facilities, it's bad. If it's bad facilities, that's good when it comes to brahmacharis, vanaprastha, sannyasis. But no, it's a matter, is it engaged in the Lord's service or not? Because it's the same principle as grihastha. That they have nice facilities, great. Is it connected to the Lord? If it is, that's grihastha. If it's not, that's grihamedi. So the same rule applies to all four varnas, because they're all based on the same thing. But we like to pick and choose according to our own, how you say, you know, facility, prestige, and everything like that. So yes?
Is it a very wide range of misconceptions?
Yes.
Regarding renunciation?
Yes.
Especially regarding sannyasis, you know, because they have to be a renounced.
Yes. But at the same time, they have to be right smack dab in the middle of everything, that everybody's watching everything, and interact perfectly with everybody, but at the same time be totally renounced and have nothing, so...
Where is this coming from?
Well, it's impossible, right? So that means it's either coming from kings, madmen, women, children, and what's the first one? Rich people. We have a lead. Now you have something to go on. See, the point is because they pick and choose. Because the thing is if we're going to use Satya Yuga for the standards for the sannyasi, Satya Yuga should be used for everybody. But it's Satya Yuga for the sannyasis and Kali Yuga for the grihasthas. That's not a balanced mentality. It's practical, but the point is they have to function in the same environment. See, the main problem comes is that if we understand is people are going to get whatever whatever it's arranged by someone else, right? And having something or not, that's not the point, but engaging in the Lord's service is the real point, right? So that's the idea, is that if it's engaged in the Lord's service, that is renunciation. If it's not engaged in the Lord's service, that's sense gratification. But that one has something, that's not a symptom of sense gratification or renunciation. You know what I'm saying? So these subtleties within, you know, the philosophy and in the culture and all that then aren't appreciated so.
Because we always concentrate on the secondary?
We always concentrate on the secondary. Right? You know, it's just like this. Okay, let's say I have a huge house, big house. In the house, there's nothing. And we put one mat on the floor one place, a little chokey, and, you know, have a few pieces of clothes and a toothbrush. So is that fancy living?
No.
No. Why not? Because there's no engagement like this. So it's not the thing. But there'll be other things. Oh, this sannyasi is in this house. How is that possible? This is nonsense. This is that. Why are they saying that? Because they don't have it. The guys with the big house, they never say that. You know, the guy with the big house goes, okay, here's a sannyasi I can relate to. You know? Understand? Oh, they're coming to India every year. This is that. Where do they get the money? And all? Why? Because they want to come and they can't. You know, remember once one was, you know, somebody came, he was invited for lunch at some place, you know, during the festival, so they're guests, so they tried to do nice. And then the grihastha was complaining, says, what is this? They're eating all this. Says, my wife will never cook this stuff for me. Why? How are the sannyasis having it? Because it's what I'm supposed to be the enjoyer, and he's getting it. But the difference is that he's not pleasing his wife, so she's not cooking it. And the sannyasi is pleasing the devotees, they're cooking. They don't catch that. You know, at the same time, that was there. They're sitting in Vrindavan. They're hosting some devotees. They do nice. They don't see what they eat on a daily basis. You know. You know, you don't even want to know. It's like, you know, wheatgrass juice. Whoopee. You know, it's like, you know. Yeah. You know, so they try to do something nice like that. And then when they travel, it's like, that's their arrangement so they can cook nice. You go other places, then they eat what that guy's wife cooks, and she doesn't cook nice because she doesn't cook for her husband. You know? So, you know, say, so the problem is because we look at the secondary. But at the same time is, we'll apply those things also to the grahasthas. Now, let us say, okay, let us just say, by facility, by what he has, by how well he's doing, how well would Sudama Vipra be respected in our society? He'd be considered a nobody. He doesn't even have proper food, he's skinny, he's this and that, he's a nonsense, he's not taking care. He would not be respected. So that's the thing, is we take secondary as the total package. Rather than engagement of things in Krishna's service. So if it's engaged in Krishna's service, it's perfect. It's not engaged, it's not perfect. And in general, grihasthas will have more, brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, sannyasis will have less. But even if they have, generally be using it for direct activities. Or grihasthas have, they'll use for direct and use for indirect. You know, I think it was Bhavananda, I think it was in Australia. Some journalist came and doing an interview and that, you know, the big guru, the this and that, and saying, you know, but, you know, all this facility and all this enjoyment, you're a monk and all that. And he just stopped and said, okay, just imagine, let us say we gave you all this facility that you say we're having and you say it's not good, and how is that a monk? And then add on top of that, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling. Now would you consider it's opulent in that? They go, no, without those four, then all the opulence has no meaning. Okay. So then they say, okay, yeah. So that's the thing, is that Narad Muni's talking about the mentality. Now the form generally follows, but the form also has more to it. You know what I'm saying? One is that you could, let's say, okay, you want to go to Vrindavan. Okay, we're here in Mayapur. Okay, so brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, sannyasis, okay, they're going to Vrindavan. Okay, then is it going to be tolerated by the society that you want to get there? Okay, it's going to take you a month. Why? Because you're going to walk. You know, hey, Maharaj, can you come to our program? We're having this program in Europe. How long is it going to take to walk there? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. The Vedic system, you had these. You know? So they don't expect social things. You know, chaturmas, 4 months. No one says boo about what's going on. No one's asking you to do the program. No one's asking you to do anything, meet devotees, or do this and that, or set example, you know, in the temple. No, they're just doing the sadhana, study. So it's a package, that's the whole thing. Then it all goes together nicely. Also, in the Vedic system, is you don't need much, because the point is yes, how you say? You've seen the babas in Vrindavan? Right? You know, it's kind of rough and ready. Whatever they can get their hands on, they put on and wear, and it works. So would everybody be cool that our sadhus look like that? Yeah. That's some, but, you know, how good is the, what do people say, you know? So that's the whole point, is we expect them to function on this nice social level where the grihasthas can relate to them in their environment, but at the same time have nothing. How does that work? You know? Sannyasis don't have to deal with ladies. But at the same time, our society demands that their authorities are ladies. You know? Means technically everybody above me who's ever dealing with what we do in the school is all a lady. You know? So that's the thing, is we can't take one and the other. So if it's going to be Kali Yuga, it's Kali Yuga for everybody. If it's going to be Satya Yuga, it's Satya Yuga for everybody. Does that make sense? So that's the problem, is due to lack of training, due to lack of understanding of the philosophy, then we don't know how to apply the culture. Because a religion is simply the manifestation of the philosophy. But because we don't study it nicely, Therefore, there's no proper manifestation. So from one person to the next, one area to the next, it's going to be totally different. That makes sense. So therefore, you, according to how you understand it, you practice it, you see it like that, you associate with those who see it like that, and you're happy. And don't worry about the rest of them, because you can't. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do we have some elements of pravriti mark in our ISKCON website?
Grihastha means pravriti.
So it's pravriti within nivriti.
Within nivriti. But that's what has to be understood. It's pravriti within nivriti. That's ISKCON. That's Gaudiya's, right? But when it's grihasthas are pravriti within pravriti, and then sannyasis have to be nivriti within nivriti, then that's fine. But then the point is for someone who is doing that, is that respect there? No, it just means that if you're like that, we won't criticize you. So it never gets, when does it get to positive? You know? So that's the whole point. You know, the brahmacharis, you know, they're slobs, they don't have dress, they don't have this, but they don't have any material desires either. So wouldn't that be respected? No, we just see that they're slobs. So you dress them up nicely, why are they so fancy dressed? It's like, you cannot please anybody. Doesn't matter what you do. You know? So that's the whole point, is that since it's a general population kind of thing, then there's going to be somebody complaining. Because somebody's complaining, that means everybody's complaining. So in the Vedic context, then you would be able to see the demographics of who's complaining and not, and then decide what's the context, or what's the value, what's the meaning. But because the modern is based on political context, it's not actually about understanding philosophy and religion. Because politics is below, it's in artha. Right. So understanding philosophy and religion are above politics, so that's why basically most people can't relate to it. Even few people can relate to politics, they just relate to sense gratification. Is that what I'm saying? Okay.
Mark, I have a question.
Yes.
So, you know, when we take devotional service, sometimes people expect us to, like you were discussing, just to renounce everything. So when we try and explain that we're engaging things in the Lord's service, they don't quite catch it, because their understanding of it is that...
Yeah, then talk to other people.
that's the
answer. You understand, is that how many live in the temple? Literally. Not counting the deities. Okay, so are they complaining? Okay, so then in the community, how many thousands are out there? Right? How many can you associate with?
Many,
but many means 10, 20 on a regular basis.
Yeah,
10, 15, okay, like that. So then you just shift that 10. Until you find ones that can relate.
No, that makes sense. It's just I was thinking if there was another angle to present.
The another angle is angle. Angle means, you know, it's if you go, you know, 30 degrees that way and miss them. That's what it means. You understand? Family members, that's another thing. That's what Narad Muni talks about. You go yes, yes, and do whatever you want. So to their face, you follow the etiquette, steal all the things and all that, but if it's not Krishna conscious, don't follow. If they give valuable advice, yes, you take it. But if it's just some mundane thing because it's, you know, their material desires that they want to do, but they can't do it, so they want to get you to do it. You know, it's like the 50-year-old Indian lady, you know, dressing her little daughter up to look like, you know, some kind of tramp, you know, like that. You know, because she can't do it, you know, but, you know, at least her daughter can do it. And so that, you know, that kind of stuff you avoid, yeah. 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 Okay, so the point is taking compassion, then teach, if possible. Since Lord Chaitanya's mission is about compassion, then that would be the standard. Now, whether we're able to do it, but it should be that someone's trying to do it, and we should be supportive of that. Not that, okay, the person's done something wrong, therefore, then no one should deal with them, no one this and that. No. You can't teach, then you don't deal. But someone else can, let them do. Because if they come back to their natural position, their original position, that is better. Yes.
I was thinking tonight...
Is that all? Yes, yes. Very good example. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, the only one more off than Dhritarashtra is Duryodhana, right? You know, we've taken care of him, right? So that he's left, but he comes back, even though he's dealt with him improperly and everything and allowed it to happen, but he comes back and takes care of him. Yes, that's the example. That's a very good example. Yeah? Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments. We have repeatedly stressed that human culture does not begin unless one takes to the principles of Varnashram Dharma. So he says repeatedly. It doesn't begin. So if we're wondering, well, we don't know if it applies and this and that, then know it, we're dealing with subhuman culture. It's human form of life, but it's not human life. You know, but the devotional service can be practiced by anyone. So even if we're subhuman, you can still practice it. But it means, because it's subhuman, it will have all the anomalies of subhuman life. Because only that very nice, pleasant, prosperous, protected environment is there in human society. Right? Does that make sense? But if outside of that, it won't be there. Right? I've seen guys that are so liberal, they won't accept the Vedic culture, but they'll be looking at, well, you know, for community, they'll be looking at the Amish. How strict are the Amish? Right? Everybody wears exactly the same thing, does exactly the same thing. They're all farmers. Right? Like that. Yeah, yeah. You know, and all that. And they have their own thing. They don't interact with outside. They don't use technology. Nothing. So the same person that's doing exactly the opposite, and when you bring that in from the Vedic, oh no, that's not practical, but they'll be looking at and quoting the Amish. So why does it work for them? Why do they have community? Because they're following the Vedic principles. They don't know they don't know its origin, they don't know it in its complete package, so there'll be strengths and weaknesses. But the point is they're closer to the Vedic standard, that's why they have community. Simple. And the more you remove the standards and restrictions and everything, then the less you have nice that you have community. Right? In other words, for those who generally talk about this community thing, much of the time they don't have it. The only community they have is getting together with others to talk about having community. But in their real day-to-day life, they don't have. Because you don't have common values. Does that make sense? So that's the point. So that's why Prabhupada repeatedly stresses this. Human culture does not begin. It begins with it. Not that, okay, we can make it better. No, it only starts with it. Otherwise, it's polished animals. Remember, if you want to talk management, termites. Not going to get a bigger management system than that. Right? Even bees can't come up to that level. Okay. Okay. Yes.
We're visiting the Amish community now in America, in the farm company. And what surprises us, how open they are. And they're talking to us as Hare Krishna's, and it's so strict. There was not a sign of identity crisis by talking to us. It is fair, you know, it's all we did since our grandparents, that's all we do.
Yeah, yeah.
We were happy, we talked about, say, hey.
Yeah, so the whole point is it's a mentality. Is that you have your standards, you're committed to them, and you're not worried that nobody else is. That's why people look to them. But if we said, oh, we have a Varnashram community like this, you know, where they're following all the nice things, like, oh, no, we don't want to visit that wouldn't apply. You know, this is the difficulty. It's actually a disease. Okay. like that, because you saw all before all the non-devotional religions. One of their, you could say their common point amongst all of them, they're opposed to the Vedic version, either to the version in its form or the Vedic version in conclusion, one or the other, or both. Okay. So that's the sad part, like that. And the main reason we can relate to them is because they're meat eaters. That's why. You know, if they were falling in there, living a lifestyle period, we wouldn't be able to relate to them. It means how many people would go out and visit a Hindu, you know, village out there? There's tons of them. There's more of them. Their image has got one little place, right? And in India, there's tons of them. You know, but we never do that. Why? Because it's too subject for it. We can't relate to it.
Yeah, that's all. Did
you
say
non-devotional religion? Yeah. No. That was what we were talking about, Narad Muni was talking before about. V-dharma, chala-dharma, apa-dharma, all those ones. Yeah, that's what we mean. Others, we're not talking about the world religions. We're just talking about, because within any religion, you could be following it nicely or not. Just like, let's say, for example, would we take it that Jesus was following Christianity nicely? Right? He would be following it in its pure state. But it's not necessarily that anybody else was. That's the problem. Okay.
Can we say the same thing about Prabhupada?
Yeah, he follows it, but he's given us the instructions how to, right? Means he's given us the transcendental. With Jesus, is how much transcendental can you talk about? It's just you're just trying to get them to just be a nice guy and stop killing each other, right? You know what I'm saying? So you know, look at the student pool. You know, it says. It wasn't, you know, but that's the whole point. Transcendental, anybody can function within it. So he shows those from intellectuals, those from wealthy, those from very poor, those from sophisticated, that they can all follow him. Who had the most problem? The intellectual. The one who had faith in the Greek culture and Roman culture and, you know, literatures and philosophy, he's the one that had the problem. Okay. So we should learn from history. Okay. Although grihastha life is a concession for the enjoyment of sex, one cannot enjoy sex without following the rules and regulations of householder life. Furthermore, as already instructed, a brahmachari must live under the care of the guru. Brahmachari guru kule, vasanta danta gurohitam, Srimad Bhagavatam. If a brahmachari does not live under the care of the guru, if a vanaprastha engages in ordinary activities, or if a sannyasi is greedy and eats meat, eggs, and all kinds of nonsense for the satisfaction of his tongue, he is a cheater and should immediately be rejected as unimportant. Right? So we see is nicely in the purport then exactly what it means is there. Because when Arjuna was worried about Varna Shankara, was he worried that all the brahmacharis, vanaprastas, and sannyasis were all going to come and have kids with all the women that were left? Good chance no.
He thought
that as a concern. Yeah, no. But I'm just saying, was that what he's worried about? Or is the other grihastha men are going to then bother these ladies? Or these ladies being unprotected, then they'll be dealing improperly. So the whole point is the grihastha, if they don't control their senses, you know, when it comes to the sexual activities, that's where everything falls apart in the grihastha community. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's, let's say someone did something, they made some money. Others may talk about it, others may be jealous and this and that, but at least it's something that people are, they do make money. But if some grihastha is found out as having illicit sex with someone else, that's everybody gets more upset. Right? It's not supposed to be happening. Unless they're getting upset because, hey, why him, not me? You know, that's another thing. But yeah. So that's there. So the brahmachari lives under the care of the guru. He's not just independent like that. The vanaprastha is just engaged in ordinary activities. In other words, you can't tell the difference between them and a grihastha. Right? Then they're not situated nicely. Right? Because, you know, economic development, everything's developing. They're just maintaining at a minimum, you know, that's comfortable, and then engaging basically in direct activities, then that's fine. So they're going to lots of programs, in other words, they are able to engage themselves in, you know, more direct preaching and sadhana. So that means you have to reduce the others to a workable mean. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have something, right? Someone comes from a more wealthy background, they may have more at vanaprastha, someone has less. That's up to them what works for them. And then, what was the last? Then the sannyasi, then eating, you know, he's not, yeah, he eats all kinds of nonsense and calls that, you know, renounced. Right? You see that nowadays, except for, I mean, very few sects of Buddhists are actually vegetarian. They don't have a problem with vegetarian, but it's not that they are. Like that. And the same as is also, you know, in the Hindu society, so many that they're meat eaters, or the monks, or that they're not vegetarian. So these things don't work nicely. Right? Creates too much passion, then everything goes. That's what it says, control the tongue, everything goes. Is that? Yeah. Okay. Did we read that he's a cheater? Such persons should be shown compassion, and if one has sufficient strength, one should teach them to stop them from following the wrong path in life. Otherwise, one should reject them and pay them no attention. Right? So, in other words, if you can adjust them, then you do that, show that compassion. If they're not willing to adjust, then they're rejected, and you pay no attention. Right? Because it's, as it said before, unimportant. Rejected as unimportant. There's nothing of value there. Narad Muni continued, the human form of body is meant for understanding the self and the supreme self, the supreme personality of Godhead, both of whom are transcendentally situated. If both of them can be understood when one is purified by advanced knowledge, for that reason, and for whom does a foolish, greedy person maintain the body for sense gratification? Shouldn't there be a comma after understood? If both of them can be understood, because that's what you're trying to do, is understand this soul and the super soul. Then how, when one is purified by advanced knowledge, right? Then for what reason would, and for whom does a foolish, greedy person maintain the body of the sense? That's the weakness of American grammar, is they have a phobia of commas. In other words, this is one of those sentences, you read it 10 times, then it starts to, you can get the wording and get the intonation and get it to make sense.
Sure.
You know, but that's why the British, they put in commas, so you only have to do it 3 times. So.
Okay. So Americans, they don't use commas as
such? As little as possible. The least they can use, the better.
So that's the grammatical rule?
Yeah, it's not necessarily a rule, it's just the practice. You know, they harass you with this since junior high, middle school. They start bothering you. So anything that you do that is used by great writers that people appreciate for, those are all the things that the teachers tell you don't do. I'm not sure how it works, but at least that's how it worked when I grew up. Yeah, that's a different approach.
Oh, I just ignore them. I use commas everywhere.
Yeah, also small sentences. You can't use bigger sentences and things like that. Like, you know, but if when you're getting to a very exact, sometimes a whole paragraph can be one sentence, because if you try to break it up, it won't mean the same thing. But whatever it is, they have their little rules that they caught, and that's how why they're a teacher, and so how you follow.
In the text of Bhagavatam, doesn't have a comma, so it comes. I think it's a direct verse.
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying. It's harder if you really know it well, then you can figure out where to break, because then you have to be very good at reading and catch and stuff like that. Otherwise, then the other makes it a little easier, because then you know how it's broken up. That's all I'm saying. It works very nicely. It has some weakness when you get into really technical things. But in general speaking, then the English works very, very smoothly. That's the idea of it. Okay. Does that make sense? So for practical getting things done, it's actually easier to use. But when you're explaining very lofty things, sometimes it has more difficulty. Not that people can't do it, like Jayadwaitamars. I've seen him use one word paragraphs. But that's him only, yes. If he directly does it, and he said, then it's amazing what he can do. But that's the thing, is you can do it. But it's just saying for, you know, the regular duffer, then, you know.
You taught a course called the Kama Sutra.
Yes. He was always good at naming so that people know. He did one thing. I forget what it was. It was on that pastime with Phrikkhet Mars getting cursed. But the way he worded it, it sounded like this really politically correct, anti-authority kind of thing. And so when he comes into it, he's bringing in all the things and bringing the context. So you think it's like that, and at the end you found out it's about establishing authority.
Right.
So it was good. Like that. Yeah, no, he's good. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the following six verses, 41 to 46, show how the body and the senses, which are the cause of obstacles for the inattentive person, are useful for the attentive yogi. Right? So here's a matter of where things that can be a stumbling block for one person are not for another, right? If you're conscious, right? Transcendentalists who are advanced in knowledge compare the body, which is made by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to a chariot. The senses are like the horses. The mind, the master of the senses, is like the reins. The objects of the senses are the destination. Intelligence is the chariot driver. And consciousness, which spreads throughout the body, is the cause of bondage in this material world. Srila Prabhupada comments. The human body, therefore, may be used in two ways. For going to the darkest regions of ignorance, or for going forward, back home, back to Godhead. To go back to Godhead, the path is Mahat Seva, to accept the realized spiritual, to accept the self-realized spiritual master. The body is just like a chariot, so we can understand this being the central point that is always brought up. Right? We see everybody brings it up, but especially Narad Muni brings this up. Right? But so that process, without that, so that's why, and nothing, if it's not based on Shastra, it doesn't have any meaning. So without being based on Shastra, without connection to the spiritual master, without following the rules, then there's no meaning to it. So that means that this principle of authority becomes extremely important within, you know, self-realization. Right? So anything that opposes that, tries to break it down, break down the varnashram, break down the position of the authorities and all that, then can we call it real dharma? No. We have to understand it fits within that paradharma, chala dharma, upadharma, all these kind of things. Like that. Because it can't not do that. Authority is the central feature. Because Krishna is the ultimate authority. So that's why it says these are the two ways. One is accepting the spiritual master, the other is not accepting. Right? That's the two ways. Because if you don't accept, it'll be your own mind, whatever you like. And if you do accept, then it's what is authority. Then you take that and apply it in your own life. So it is individualized. That's the thing that the modern can't deal with. You either have it's good for everybody, or it's good for an individual. They can't work it out together. But the Vedic is you have rules are for everybody, and then you apply those rules to yourself. So what's the position of application for one person may be different from another. But you have to be able to explain its lineage. You can't just say you feel like it. That doesn't work. Okay. And if you do say, oh, because he feels like it, then again, Chala Dharma, Upa Dharma, Vidharma, all these things.
Would there be a difference between the process of accepting and rejecting authority as a principle and within your own acceptance of authority? Sometimes in a gray area, it goes back and forth.
Means there's the principle of authority. You have to accept that. Now, whether someone's qualified to be in that position or not, that's another thing. Just like this. We had a discussion, when was it? Some months ago. I don't remember. Was it this year or last year? Some of the things, you know, before, and you know, going back to the 80s, and that, you know, some gurus fell, and so that was last year. Then they, you know, their whole faith is thrown off. How can they have that faith? How can they this? How can they that? So that means they don't have faith in the principle of authority. Otherwise, they have faith in the principle of authority. It means that remains. Who is in the position of authority? That now, that's a detail. So you'll find that is those who they fall, but there's this and that, and if they have that and they fall down, then it says that you're talking to a person who has no faith in the principle of authority. You know what I'm saying? But if it's a matter of yes, it's there, so now that has to be replaced or found someone, then that's someone who accepts the principle of authority. And not, okay, I accept the principle of authority under certain conditions. That's again someone who doesn't accept authority. You know what I'm saying? In other words, if it's everything that I like, then I'll accept them as authority. So in other words, their position of authority depending upon me. Not that I'm dependent on them, they're dependent on me. Because if I decide they're not authority, they're not. But in the Vedic version, you accept them or not. That point is brought up when Krishna came into the arena of sacrifice, you know, in Mathura. That some people think of him as the supreme, and some don't. But it doesn't change his position. He's not dependent on others. He's independent. So that means Krishna's system is independent. We accept or don't accept Varnashram. It's still just as valid as it's always been. It's not that because we don't accept it, therefore it's invalid. No, it just means it's still valid. We don't get the benefit. So that's the difference. So when we talk about, we're talking about authority, but then we're also talking about the detail. So someone in that position, this is how they should act. They don't act, then okay, then there has to be some adjustment there, some training, ignore them, like this. That something should be done. But the principle is always there. But the point is, the problem here, find somewhere else. So the principle of authority is maintained. And if that's understood, then it's not nice. It's, you know, you have the emotional aspects, but you just change. You know, you're in the very nice, fancy bus, and it breaks down, so you have to get on one of the other local buses. But it works. It's a bus. It gets there. You prefer the other bus, but hey, you get on the bus. But if you don't have faith in that concept of transportation, then that bus breaks down, then that's it. I can't take buses anymore. I'm walking. I'm doing this. That. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point. So if I use that example, everyone would say, of course you should take the bus. That's all the only smart thing to do. But apply it into a social, economic, emotional area, gone. No brains. You know? Take it, extend it into something that's dead matter, all brains. Put it into something that's animate, zero brains. I don't know how that works, but it's a very amazing phenomenon.
On a personal level, this, when you're applying to yourself, you're following up your authority. There is a process of manana. You think, you apply, realize.
Yes.
So that's the proper process.
That's the proper process. You've heard, now you contemplate, practice, and see how it applies to you exactly. And that may take some time. That's why it mentions. It takes some time to get the fit. You know. So you find yourself. You find your relationship with the other senior Vaishnavas, them with you, you with equals, them with you, you with juniors, them with you. So all these different things, if you contemplate, you try to follow with time, it gets better. But if you're not contemplating, you won't get anywhere. So that's why the Upanishads, then that contemplation is so important. You only hear nice, but unless you contemplate, you can't actually make it fit where it's not a disturbance. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. The body is just like a chariot or car in which one may go anywhere. One may drive well or else one may drive whimsically, in which case it's quite possible that he may have an accident and fall into a ditch. In other words, if one takes directions from the experienced spiritual master, one can go back home, back to Godhead. Otherwise, one may return to the cycle of birth and death. So that's the idea, is that you take direction, you drive properly, things go well. You don't, then you'll have problems. One should take lessons from these Vedic literatures and learn how to practice Nivritti Marg. Then one's life will be perfect. The body is important as long as it has consciousness. Without consciousness, the body is merely a lump of matter. Therefore, to return home back to Godhead, one must change his consciousness from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness. One's conscious, so it's not what you're doing with the body, it's what you're doing with the consciousness. Right? And now the symptoms of what you're doing with the conscious will be seen in the body. But it's not about, I just get the external done nicely, that makes it work perfectly. No, it's about you're using the external to get at the consciousness. Best as you can get directly at the consciousness. If not, we're so absorbed in the external, then through the external we try to get at the consciousness. But it's about change of consciousness. Right? Yes. What kind of guru? It's just guru. Guru. It's guru is the principle. Then from there it has its specifics where you're applying it. Does that make sense? You know, Krishna is the ultimate guru and mother is the first guru, and then so everybody in between. Does that work? Yeah. But if this consciousness is purified by bhakti yoga, one can then understand the falsity of his upadhi. His designations as Indian, American, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, and so on, right? So we don't put any faith in, oh, you know, you're from this, you're from that, and so therefore, you know, you would follow devotional service differently. No, we don't worry about the upadis, right? We worry about the conscious. You change the consciousness. That's the main point. And we don't take it that the Vedic culture and Indian are the same. That is a very major mistake in use of intelligence, right? Because here we're talking about Vedic literatures and the Vedic culture, right? And Varnashram and all that. And then he's using Indian as being from a country, from a location. So they're two different things. So you can see from here, Prabhupada's not equating them as equal, right? But in India, you'll see some leftover of the Vedic culture, and that's of value. But what's not, then that's just as useless as anywhere else in the world.
Hmm? Is it because we see some leftovers that you infer that, oh, because some leftovers, the whole must be, so then the confusion comes?
That's there, but no, the main problem comes down to is that if India and Vedic go together, then kind of what they're doing in India, if you wanted to follow the Vedic culture, you would have to practice that anywhere in the world. But if Vedic and Indian are just an ethnicity, then what they do in India is practical for India, and what we do anywhere else is practical there. You understand? In other words, it's a motive. It's a mix there, but it's chala dharma. You're taking the definition and switching it to, in other words, instead of using the Vedic definition, you're using the modern academic definition. Yeah. Because in the modern academy, Vedic just means Indian. Yeah.
And by rejecting Indian, you're also rejecting
the Vedic. That's the technique to reject the Vedic, because means that's all there is there, there's nothing, it's not practical in this age, or that's from before, no one's doing like this, blah, 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 like that. And, More blahs, yeah. Yeah. So it's just it's lack of proper use of intelligence. You know. Sarvapati Vinir Muktam Tatvarat Vena Nir Malam Chaitacharyavrita Madhyalila 19.170. One must forget these designations and use this consciousness only for the service of Krishna. Therefore, if one takes advantage of the Krishna consciousness movement, his life will be, life is certainly successful. Right? So that's what we're trying to get to. We're trying to go beyond. It's not that you don't engage the aspects of the upadhi, just like the soul is not a grihastha, but the facility is a grihastha ashram you engage. But it's based on the rules governing the relationship between the super soul and the soul. Right? And who sets those rules? The super soul, not the soul. But the rules are broad enough to be able to accommodate the various situations of the soul. But then to take the position of the soul as the main point and try to progress from there, then you're taking the upadhi as the process, and then therefore that kind of polluted consciousness as spiritual. Right? So then that becomes a mess. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Govinda ki.